Well, it's time for Studio 435, our weekly segment featuring the best live music Chicago has to offer right here in our Allstate Showcase studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. And it's amazing to me that we've been doing Studio 435 for over a year, and we haven't had the blues. And that changes tonight. And what an artist to break the drought, guitar player, singer-songwriter Ronnie Baker Brooks. Ronnie Baker Brooks is a tremendous performer who started playing the blues at the age of 9. His father, Lonnie Brooks, was a Chicago blues legend. Lonnie Brooks passed away in April. His sons continue on his tradition, though. Ronnie Baker Brooks has a new album out called Times Have Changed, and he is headlining the Chicago Blues Festival on Sunday, June 11th. But first, he brings the blues in studio tonight. Here he is with a title track from his new album, Times Have Changed, Ronnie Baker Brooks.
Good woman used to love a man with all her heart and soul. Stuck with him till the days they grow low. You know times have changed. You know times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today is a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed. A good man used to take his money to go buy milk and bread. Make sure his babies were all at home and fed. You know times have changed. You know times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today it's a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed. In my neighborhood, they never locked the front doors. The neighborhood has changed. You can't do that no more. 'Cause times have changed. 'Cause times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today is a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed. The rich keep on getting richer. We can't feed our poor. The whole wide world about to go to war. 'Cause times have changed. 'Cause times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today it's a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today is a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed. Nothing remains the same. Today is a brand new game. 'Cause times have changed.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio tonight. The new album, Times Have Changed. He's headlining the Chicago Blues Festival on Sunday, June 11th. He's in studio tonight. We're going to sit down with him and talk a little bit about his career, and we'll also hear some more music here in Studio 435. Ronnie Baker Brooks, my guest tonight. Stay with us. Yes, a download here on 720 WGN, Studio 435. This is a segment we do every Monday night to bring the best music Chicago has to offer right here in our Allstate Showcase studio. Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio, the blues man, Chicago blues man, who's been playing since he was 9 years old. He's headlining the Chicago Blues Festival coming up here on June 11th. Great to see you. Thanks for playing. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, man. Glad to be here.
Does it change anything that they're changing the location? Because it's always been at the Petrillo there, and now they're moving it to Millennium Park, to the Pritzker Pavilion. Does that change anything for you as a musician?
It might change a little bit. You know, the atmosphere always affects the vibe a little bit, you know. But it's still Chicago. It's still Chicago. And it might be a little more intimate, you know, and that's cool, you know.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's hard to believe, but I guess it's a little bit smaller, right? Because it's not as expansive going out. For you, I mean, playing festivals. I mean, you're a Chicago guy, but the you know playing festivals around the world. Where does the Chicago Blues Festival rank?
It's no place like home. It's no place like home, man. I mean, I've played all over the world. I've been fortunate to do this practically all my life, and it's always a good feeling when you come home and play the Chicago Blues Festival. It's like a homecoming, you know. It's no place like Chicago. Like I said earlier during the break, I even come down there when I'm not working right. just to feel the vibe, man, and hear the music, you know, and see familiar faces, you know, from the industry. And it's just a great time to be in Chicago.
For you as a blues musician, a professional who tours all over the world, you hear more often from blues musicians that there is a market and there is a taste for blues music, jazz music, what have you, in Europe.
Yeah.
So there's just, you go there and people will be like, I want the blues, Germany, places like that. Is that true? Do you feel that there's more support for the music overseas than there is in the States these days?
I do feel a appreciation, a deeper appreciation there, because it's, they probably feel like we better go see this now because we don't know when they're coming back
or
it's more of an event.
Right.
You know, whereas here in Chicago, we so blessed to have so many great blues clubs here and great blues musicians. We kind of take it for granted sometimes, possibly, you know. Whereas over there, they really appreciate it.
You're on tour, right?
Yeah, and I have people waiting in the lobby for me down there just to get an autograph. You know, that was really that made you feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for you and your career, I mean, I mentioned in the lead that you started playing at the age of 9.
Yeah.
And you're also well known. I mean, looking up your stuff today, I mean, you're well known for your stage presence. Like the what you put on stage and the out. I mean, it's so great and it's so Chicago. Talk about where that comes from. Where does it come from that you can command a stage the way you do? And talk about where you developed that even from the age of 9.
Well, my dad, Lonnie Brooks, taught me everything I know. But he never taught me everything he knew. He always kept something in his pocket, man, just in case. I remember watching my dad here at the Chicago Fest in Navy Pier at, you know, age of 10, 11. And when I was 9, we played a place here called Pepper's Hideout. And I'll tell you a story. It goes back. When my dad was over in Europe, he was over in Europe for like 6 weeks or so. And right before he left, I was like, Dad, I want to go. Take me with you, man. Take me with you. He's like, well, if you learn 2 songs, you know, by the time I get back, I'll get you up on stage with me. So I learned Messing with the Kid by Junior Wells and Reconsider Baby by Lowell Fulson. And I'm going to tell you, Justin, before my dad could get out the cab, man, I had the guitar. I'm trying to show him that I learned these songs, right, man. And he was like, wow, you did it. You did it. So they had a welcome back home party at Pepper's Hideout. And he did it. He allowed me to come and play. And it was on my 9th birthday. So that was my first time on stage. And it was a small venue.
Do you remember?
I remember it.
What was the feeling that you can recall?
I was real nervous at first. And I was sitting with my mother. And I had a mood ring on, man. It was turning different colors, you know. And my mom seen it. She said, son, just relax. Play like you do at home with dad. And when she said that, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I got up on stage, man, and we were playing, and the people thought it was dad playing, so he held up his hands. And they realized it was me. They started throwing me money on stage, man. So I made more money than my dad that night. He let me keep the money, but my mom didn't.
Well, that started a long, life of home being staged.
Yeah.
I mean, a stage was your home.
Yeah, and see, when I, at home, it was fine. I didn't know until I got to Navy Pier that my dad was this great blues musician.
Thousands of
people were, like, trying to reach at him at the stage, man. And that freaked me out, man. That freaked me out. I really couldn't absorb that. It's like, what? Because, you know, every time we would play, it was just either me and him or his band or, you know, at the small club,
right,
Pepper's.
Right.
But I hadn't seen him at a festival setting. and it just blew my mind, man.
So did it, did it make you want to be a part of it, or were you?
It intimidated me.
Yeah, right.
It really did. It intimidated me. I was like, I can't do that. And my dad was like, yes, yes, you can. You can do it better. He would always instill the confidence in me and my brother Wayne that you can do it. You can do it. And, you know, because he understood that we were coming up under him, and he had this, you know, this stature that mm-hmm. we had, you know, this expectation put on us automatically because of who he is and who he was. So
I always think about, you know, because we've had a couple of musicians in here not too long ago was talking about the idea of starting when they're young.
Yeah.
And what are the, I mean, because you're always the positives. That's a positive story for you to say, oh, I was 9 years old and I got on stage with my dad and we were playing, you know, in front of at a certain point in your life, 11, 12, 13, you're playing bigger, larger, you're part of the band.
Right.
What are the challenges as a kid at 12 years old that you have to deal with the fact that it's unbelievable experience, but at the same time you're 12?
Well, one of my challenges was none of my friends were playing blues. If they were in the music, it was in the funk or R&B, and at that time, hip-hop was coming in, rap music was coming in. No one was listening to no Muddy Waters, for sure, or Howlin' Wolf, man. And I was listening to that stuff since I was a baby, and I just gravitated to it. So because of that, I was playing with a lot of older musicians, and I got a little bored with that, or I couldn't mm-hmm. relate to them. Mm-hmm. So I quit to play basketball and broke my dad's heart, man. And that was one of my challenges, was just to stay in it and keep going.
Right, right.
And because I felt in my mind I couldn't live up to dad. You know, I couldn't do that.
Right.
You know,
you wanted your own life, right?
And then, you know, I'm glad I did do basketball because it taught me the team concept to a band. Each person in the band has a role,
right?
You know, to make the music elevate. Mm-hmm. And that I learned that through playing basketball. And when I got back into it, it was like, I want to say 16 years old. I saw Luther Allison down at the Chicago Fest here when he was at Soldier Field.
Wow.
And he had his son, Bernard Allison, playing with him, another African-American teenager. I hadn't seen that before, man. It was all adults that I was playing with. And when I saw him, I was like, oh, he... my age, he's playing the blues too. He wasn't playing funk, he was playing the blues. And we became best friends. And so that kind of got me back into it. And then I went on the road with dad. I started going on the road at 16 and my summer breaks from school and joined a band after graduating from high school.
Ronnie Baker Brooks, my guest tonight in studio, singer-songwriter, guitar player, blues man who is headlining the Chicago Blues Fest coming up here on June 11th, Sunday night at the at Pritzker Pavilion, Millennium Park. All right, let's hear something. What do you want to play here?
I'm going to do a song that I wrote for my dad. It's called Thank You.
All right.
I sang this at his funeral, so we'll try it now.
All right. The track Thank You for Ronnie Baker Brooks' dad, Lonnie Brooks. Ronnie Baker Brooks, his album is Times Have Changed. He's going to be at the Chicago Blues Festival coming up on June 11th, headlining. And he is in studio. Here is the track, Thank You.
I didn't know what to do or why. Thought that I was through my life, and reason for living was fading away with no ambition. Then you walked in just in time to comfort me, to ease my mind. I felt relieved, my soul renewed. You lift me up with gratitude. I wanna thank you for giving me hope, helping me to rise above. In my darkest days, oh, you helped me cope. I wanna thank you for your love. Thank you for you. You bring me joy to a man. Acting like a boy, my world was tumbling down. I was hard just to be around, but you were never critical. The love you gave unconditional. You were so strong, you did not budge. When I was weak, you did not judge. I wanna thank you for giving me hope, helping me to rise above. In my darkest days, oh, you helped me cope. I wanna thank you for your love. I wanna thank you for giving me hope, helping me to rise above. In my darkest days, oh, you helped me cope. I wanna thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love.
Yeah, there you go. Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio tonight.
Thank you.
Song Thank You for his father. He played it at his father's funeral, Lonnie Brooks' father. The new record is Times Have Changed. Ronnie Baker Brooks is headlining the Chicago Blues Festival coming up here Sunday, June 11th. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back more with we'll hit some more music. We'll talk a little bit more here on the Download Studio 435. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin, Studio 435. This is where we give you the best live music Chicago has to offer right here in our beautiful Michigan Avenue studio. Tonight, Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio, the blues man. He is headlining the Chicago Blues Festival coming up on the 11th over at the Millennium Park Pritzker Pavilion. He's got a new album out called Times Have Changed. He's my guest tonight. We'll hear some more music, but first we'll sit down and talk a little bit more about your career. You know, it is interesting because as we were talking about, we heard the song Thank You, you know, and I want to talk a little bit more about your dad, but the relationship that you had, not only, you know, as being father and son, but being on stage, you were part of a band and you both played off each other and you played guitar in the band. Talk about that. Talk about the, you know, I don't have a father who was a broadcaster.
Right.
Right. I don't have that shared experience. And a lot of people right now who are probably in a profession, they don't have. Their father wasn't in the profession. What was it like to be in this profession, to be a guitar player, when your dad is a famous guitar player?
The older I got to appreciate it a lot more because I realized it was a kind of unique situation. And the effect it has had on my life and on others' lives. When they would see us play together, I had seen grown men come up to me crying, saying, man, it's great that you working with your dad, you're doing something. You could tell that you love it, and you could tell he loves it. And you can see that, you know, you guys love each other, you know. And I didn't realize the effect that it had at a young age because I was so caught up on trying to fulfill an expectation.
Right, right.
You know, or to be.
Right.
I never wanted anyone to say he got this gig because he was Lonnie Brooks' son.
Right.
Although that might have been the case, but
yeah, but it was also the band was a family band, so
yeah, you know. So, but I didn't want to put that pressure on my dad because I wanted him, you know, to have the credibility as a band leader, and everybody that got in his band earned it. Mm-hmm. So I had to work twice as hard, you know. So that was one of the pressures of being the son of, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then when I branched off on my own, that still applied, you know, because I had that expectation to live up to, and even today, because of the, you know, what he has accomplished in his career. But growing up, I thought it was more of a obligation. But now, as I've gotten older, I feel like it's an honor.
You know, it is interesting because, I mean, in a way, because of that stress, I guess it is, or because of that dynamic, it created a work ethic.
Yeah.
And that obviously seems to be something that you hold your hat on. I mean, that's something that's important to you.
Very, because I, you know, I was representing myself, but I was also representing him. And if I was like late 5 minutes to the bus, man, I would get it. I would get it. And that would hurt me, man, because I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to lead by example, you know, because I realized the pressure it was putting on dad to the other guys in the band as well, you know, because he would always say, man, it'd be hard to fire my son. although he did, you know, because he did. He fired me, man. He would always say, no, I didn't. He fired me when I decided to go out on my own and do my own, you know, solo career. I recorded my CD Gold Digger.
Right.
And I got back from Memphis. I recorded it down in Memphis. And I got back from Memphis and I came home and played it for him. We drinking some wine, man, and listened to the record. He wouldn't say nothing. He just listening. I was like, well, what are you going to say something? Never said anything until the end, after everything was played and we listening, done listening. He said, son, this album is great. It's time for you to go. I said, no, man, I could stay with you and we could do this together. He said, no, I want them to recognize you as a solo artist and not just my rhythm guitar player. I want them to recognize you as for this, this what you just put down and, mm-hmm. and laid out. They need to hear this and you need to go out and support it. And man, I was almost in tears, Justin. I was like, no, Daddy said, son, if it don't work, you can come back. And when he said that, I got confidence. I was like, I can come back. I still got a gig. He said, yes. So, you know, that gave me the confidence to jump out there and do it. So all those little things, man, my dad was preparing me for today. All of those things, man.
It's amazing. I mean, you mentioned Memphis, and I think of the Chicago as such a blues capital. I really do. I mean, there's something about being from this area and everything about that music. We talk about the Blues Fest, and I think anyone listening right now at 720 WGN agrees. I mean, Chicago is the same. But there are a lot of blues capitals in this country. There's Memphis, and you think of the South.
Yeah.
St.
Louis now. They got a museum there.
I mean, where does Chicago rank? I mean, when you think, for you, you're from here,
yeah.
So you know it. But I mean, Chicago also, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but it's somewhat turned its back on the music in the way that, you know, there's been talk about creating a Motor Row or a blues museum. And there's just not as much like city will for it to happen. It's almost like we see the clubs as tourist destinations and it's not really part of the fabric or it's not in us anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe that, but that's how it feels.
Yeah. Times have changed, man. I remember as a youngster, much younger, it was a little more vibrant because we had a lot of the older masters still around, you know. And at one time, Justin, I remember being on the road with my father. We would run into each other at truck stops, man. You would run into Otis Rush or Mighty Joe Young, Sun Seals or Coco Taylor. Right. You know, it was like very, very vibrant then. And whereas now we got another generation coming up, so it does feel that way a little bit because a lot of people don't know these young people coming up.
There is a generation coming up, though.
Yeah, and so it's a transition thing going on, and I think once that gets over that cliff, then hopefully it'll get like it was back then, right. You know.
Are you seeing it? And I guess as someone who tours a lot and lives life, you know, on the blues circuit, I mean, do you see the same erosion of fanfare for the blues in other American cities? Do you see in Memphis, are you like, well, it's not what it used to be like?
You know, I was down in Memphis on Beale Street at B.B. King's, man, and they were playing R&B and rock and roll at B.B. King's. You would think you would hear nothing but blues there.
Right.
You know, although, you know, you do hear blues, but, you know, you got a younger generation coming in, and a lot of people want to hear something they're familiar with. So, you know, it's great that we got young guys coming up, Gary Clark Jr., you know, Shamika Copeland.
Yeah,
and,
she's great.
Taranzo Cannon.
Yeah.
We got Corey Dennison. And
all those
Guy
great,
King,
yeah,
all these guys here in Chicago.
Those are Chicago people.
Yeah, you know, that's really making some ground.
Is there a way for Chicago to lead the way in bringing blues back in this country?
Yes. I mean, I think for me, being able to travel around the world, I've seen different cities where they might have one blues club, whereas here we got many. You know, we got
still,
many.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And that's saying something there, you know, that we can keep the blues clubs open here, you know, because Chicago is known for the blues. I mean, Chicago blues is iconic around the world.
Well, it's interesting, too, because when I think of the best blues shows that I've seen in my life in Chicago, it's a dive bar in the back. It's maybe not even known necessarily as a blues club, but the blues guys are playing that night.
Yeah.
And they play and they put a show on that you've never seen anything like that, the energy, the push, the stuff that you do, right?
Yeah.
And then I think of the blues clubs as we know them, and I think of them as a little bit of like two-drink minimum cover to get in, 2 o'clock in the morning in a college area.
Yeah.
You know, as a Chicagoan, I'm not sure I necessarily want to go there because, you know, I live my life here. It's a different kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's that contrast of like trying to figure out where the blues fits here.
Yeah. It's always an economic thing, you know, even with like back then, with all of those people traveling from Chicago on the road, that stopped because of economics, you know, and then it always kind of boils down to music, the music and the money sometimes, sadly. And then,
can you make a living being a blues musician in the club without the record, without anything? Can you just go from club to club?
It would be tough.
It would be?
It would be tough. I mean, it's possible. It depends on how good you are.
Of course.
You know, it's tough. It's really, really hard, man. I've been blessed to be able to do this for a living. My father gave me a firm foundation to jump off of, me and my brother, and he taught us everything we know, man. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take that for granted, and I realize the situation. Well, there's many others that, you know, could be out here and doing this as well, and I'm pushing for that. You know, I'm an advocate for that because I love this music. Yeah. I love Chicago. I'm the Chicago's number one fan when it comes to the blues. And I mean, even when I'm on the road, I promote Chicago blues, man. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, all these cats, man, and just trying to keep it alive.
You know, I want to keep it in the club for a second.
Okay.
I mean, I think about that experience, and I've been watching today. I watched a bunch of your YouTube clips of the stuff that was live.
Yeah.
And there's just this, I don't know what it is about the music, but maybe it's because of the Chicago in me, which is just like, you just gravitate to it. But take us into that club. When you're on stage, when you're in that moment and you're shredding or you're, you know, like you're in the track and you're singing and you're the whole thing, what is that feeling like? What is that? I mean, explain, if you can encapsulate and explain what that feeling's like to be on stage in a club like that, playing the blues.
It's an awesome feeling. And I really, my whole thing is, if I can make people happy, I'm happy. And if I see a smile or someone having a good time, it elevates me. It gives me energy, and I throw it right back out. And then you get this ball of energy going, man. And I just ride it. I ride it wherever it takes me sometimes. You know, I just ride it, let it go. And sometimes, Justin, I've had the spirit of, you know, Albert Collins or B.B. King, or sometimes even people that's living, Buddy Guy, come through me and just keep pushing it out, man. And once you see that energy affecting others, you get it. And then I just roll it back out. And then you get this ball of energy going, man. And now it's an experience now. You know?
Well, I mean, you nail it. It's a ball of energy.
Yeah.
And when you're watching it in a digital space at my desk, you know, I could feel it.
I truly feel good when I see people enjoying themselves, even if I'm not playing.
Ronnie Baker Brooks, the blues man, the album Times Have Changed. He is headlining the Blues Festival coming up on June 11th, Sunday night here in Chicago at Millennium Park. All right, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back and we'll get one last track tonight live in Studio 435 from Ronnie Baker Brooks. Stay with us.
Yeah.
It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, Patty Vasquez. But first, we finish out Studio 435 tonight. Our weekly segment, bringing you the best live music Chicago has to offer. Tonight, no exception, Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio. He will be headlining at the Chicago Blues Festival, the 5 o'clock slot on Sunday at the July 11th or June 11th at the Pritzker Pavilion, Millennium Park. The new record is Times Have Changed. What are we going to hear now?
Here's a song I wrote with a friend of mine, Big Head Todd.
Right.
Called All True Man.
All True Man. Here it is, Ronnie Baker Brooks. Yeah.
Come here, girl. What's your name? 'Cause you're so fine. Tell me, what's your game? You heard it before, but not from me. I'm the all true man that you need. But I ain't saying that I am Mr. Right. But I
could take care of you, girl. Morning, noon, late at night. All true Maine. All true Maine. I ain't the kind to show my cards. I'm laying them down cause you're a queen of hearts. Give me a chance, I'll show you how. That I'm the all true man that you need right now. But I ain't saying that I am Mr. Wrong. Love you in the morning, love you all night long. All true man, all true man. I don't know, little girl, who you are. You caught my eye like a flashing star. Just tell me, girl, what you need. I don't make promises, just guarantees, yeah. Smile, I love your vibe. Can I taste your honey in your hive? But I ain't saying that I am Mr. Right. But I can take care of you, girl, morning, noon, late at night. All true man, all true man. All true man, 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 all true man.
Yeah! All right! Ronnie Baker Brooks in studio tonight, Studio 435. He's headlining Chicago Blues Festival June 11th at Millennium Park Pritzker Pavilion. His new album is called Times Have Changed. It was a pleasure to talk to you tonight and to hear you live. Ronnie Baker Brooks, a Chicago treat. Thanks so much for coming in studio, and we will look forward to seeing you at Millennium Park.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.